Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss Dickie's marriage on Y&R, Fraternity Row on One Life to Live, Stolen Designs on B&B, A Kidnapping on Days, The Who Killed Lisa mystery on General Hospital, and the latest twist in the Prospect Park saga. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Well, hello.
Reagan, welcome.
Hi.
And Mel, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Well, let's dive into things. Where to start? Okay, let's start with a little bit of fun. Let's talk about One Life to Live for a bit. This last week, they aired episodes featuring Fraternity Row, the soap that was canceled. And it was hilarious.
It wasn't hilarious. It was bitching. Like, the detail to history, Reagan, didn't you get all warm?
Oh, I loved it.
And the Megan reference, the Megan reference died. For y'all that don't know, Jessica Tuck did not, you know. Jessica Tuck is a graduate of One Life to Live. Loved it.
I have to admit, I was out of town, so I had to play catch up. And I was working on Friday night, and somebody was talking about One Life to Live, who was sitting at my bar, and I was like, don't say anything. I haven't watched yet. She was like, oh my God, Fraternity Row. And I came right home and I sat there and watched like 5 hours straight. It was the best thing ever.
I think that I had two favorite parts with that story. Clint and Roxy.
Oh, Roxy, bow down to Roxy.
Eileen, Kristen.
Eileen, yeah. She is like performer of the week on One Life to Live. She was fantastic with that storyline. I loved her. She made it all worthwhile.
The attention to detail down to the friggin' Soap Opera Weekly magazine. I was like, that was hood fresh. I bowed out to every one of them involved. That was good.
Yeah. It was fantastic. They never get it wrong. I was cracking up. It was fantastic. Fantastic.
Mel, what did you think?
It was amazing. I love how everybody's wrapped up in the soap, because I feel like that's us. I find myself wrapped up in One Life to Live all the time. I love how Star was smothering Jack with a pillow because he was messing with her soap.
I love that she did it just to kill him, but whatever.
Yeah. It's true.
He's like, oh, these damn writers, they are messing with my Brianna. I died. Seven times. It was so funny. And then, of course, Roxy, Eileen, Kristen, she gets the Soap Opera Weekly and drops it and bursts out into this blood-curdling scream like somebody choked her or killed her daddy. Oh, no. What happened if that happened?
The little digs about, you know, the writers and the networks and everything. I'm like, to me, I thought that was a nice little wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and a good F you to ABC and that buzzed frond. So kudos to Ron and Frank for that, and the One Life posse.
Oh, it was so fun. And it was so true to life, because, I mean, here I am at work Friday night having the exact same conversation that played out on my screen later. You know, I've got the two ladies that I'm talking to, and their husbands are right next to us going, oh my God, are you serious? You guys are seriously going to have this in-depth conversation about a soap opera right now? And we're like, shut up. Stop talking. Leave us alone. You two talk to yourselves right now. And it was exactly what was playing out between Star and Jack. And then these two couples go on from their regulars, and they go on and play cards later. And here is the one wife saying, I can't play cards now. I'm too upset about One Life to Live. I can't do it. And I was like, oh my God, this is so funny. Oh, it was perfection. One Life to Live is just perfection, and I'm just so, I can't believe it's ending. Oh, it's terrible. Dagger in my heart.
Sometimes I wonder if Helena's in charge of
ABC. No.
Let's talk a little bit about Gigi/Stacy.
Do we have to?
Okay.
Well, someone on Twitter pointed out, or was it last week's podcast, that they got that she got a hairstyle or a new hair color somewhere between
Brazil and Paris, Texas.
Yes. Apparently, they have a hair salon on the plane.
She used Miss Claire all in that bathroom. She that hair. Y'all play rock, paper, scissors on who gonna talk about that storyline, because I like One Life to Live, and that is all.
What I found nice about the storyline, trying to find the positive in the Gigi storyline, is that we got to see Paris, Texas again. And I really enjoyed that storyline when it took place originally, and so I didn't mind revisiting it. What did you guys think?
I liked just the fake out we had this week with Cutter telling Gigi that she was actually Gigi, and she goes off, and then we come back to reality, and it was all in Cutter's head. They got me on that one, and that doesn't happen a lot. So
I like that too, Mel. I was like, ooh, wow, I can't believe he's actually telling her. And then they flash forward a little bit to her going, Cutter, what did you lie to me about? I was like, damn.
They pulled the days on us. They pulled the days, because, right, you're old school days watching. Yeah. You know, days will do that. You know, you'll have somebody, Sammy thing, you know, I switched the DNA test. And then Marlena, you what? And then it flash forwards. Sammy, what did you want to tell me? I'm like, damn, y'all pulled the okie doke. That was hood. Thought that was cute.
And meanwhile, Florencia Lozano was giving a fantastic performance in the police station.
Oh my God, at John's desk. I was like, woohoo, whip that hair, girl. What are you? Go after John McBain. Tell him.
Whip that hair back and forth.
There was some interesting news also related to One Life to Live this last week. The View announced that it's going to be doing a salute to One Life to Live. Erica Slezak will be hosting the episode, and it's going to feature interviews, behind-the-scenes clips, as well as some star appearances. That news came out about the same time that Eddie Alderson tweeted a photo of the packed-up One Life to Live set. We're getting closer. Time is running out.
I mean, you know, it's about damn time that ABC gave One Life to Live some love. I mean, it's so sad that, you know, they give them love when, you know, it's in this type of form, you know, when they're canceled. Because, you know, I did wonder when all my children got the All My Children salute on The View. I did say on Twitter, I'm like, now, I wonder if One Life to Live is going to get that type of love. Because if they don't, I'm like, child, please, y'all better stay away from Twitter, because I will go buck. You know, and I'm glad that they're being fair with them doing that. The picture of the studio, oh, that was heartbreaking, wasn't it? Oh!
Yeah, it was.
God, and every time I think about it, I'm like, God damn you, ABC. Oh, it's just so heartbreaking to see them broken down, bare bones. Oh, just revolution my ass, anyways.
It's very heartbreaking. That empty studio shot was just like, made your heart sink. And I mean, I'm glad to see The View, like Jillian said, give that fair shake to One Life to Live, like All My Children Got. I wish we would see a little bit more of these tributes to them while these shows were still had a little bit of a fighting chance that would give the fans a little bit more of an interest to tune back in instead of sort of, you know, their swan song.
On Farewell.
Yeah.
Well, Landview citizens were invested in Fraternity Row, were invested in One Life to Live, and like a soap opera twist, Prospect Park apparently is still invested in bringing in One Life to Live and All My Children to the web. After basically saying it was a done, a Variety published an article in which Prospect Park says they're still intent on bringing the shows to the internet, where they would serve as anchors for the broader online network play. Thoughts, Mel?
Jamie pretty much summed it all up in his article, Pooper, Get Off the Pooper. That's what I feel like. Get it together. Either you're going to say that you're done with it and be done with it, or try to, you know, put it on hold and bring it back. Like, you can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it too. It's either or, and you're playing with people's emotions, and I don't want you to do that, because it's bad. You don't want to play with soap fans' emotions. It's
you don't.
Bad things happen. That's all I'm going to say. But it's just ridiculous. Poop. Get out the pooper. Have a come-to-Jesus moment and decide what you're going to do, because we honestly, we don't have time for it.
The licensing agreement would allow them to have some time, but at the same time, you think about the fact that Ron and Frank are no longer attached to it. They're going to General Hospital. Any show that they would launch in the future, if they were to actually go through with it, would be significantly different than what we're seeing today, based on the fact that as time goes by, it may be harder to get individuals to sign on. Reagan, where, if One Life to Live and All My Children were to return, do you anticipate them even resembling what we know?
No, not at this point. You know, Prospect Park's biggest mistake at first was that they either were saying too much or not enough. And that may seem a little contradictory in what I said, but with soap fans, they're a vocal bunch and they're online everywhere and they're reading mags and they want to know exactly what's going on. You know, they lost All My Children and One Life to Live, and to them, they lost a member of their family. And so they wanted to know exactly what Prospect Park was going to do. But Prospect Park didn't know themselves what they were going to do. So instead of just keeping their mouths shut or offering up what they could say, which was the truth, they had things out there that weren't necessarily 100%, or they weren't laying out exactly what was going on. And it got them in a situation where they couldn't back up what they started. And you know, that's their problem. They need to either lay out the complete truth. This is what happened. This is where we're at. Or just zip it. Stop saying anything until everything is a done deal and you know what you're doing.
You know, I would say, you know, to be fair with Prospect Park, the New York Post got this ball rolling, and you can't blame the New York Post. They're, you know, they're a publication. They gotta be fed too. But my thing with Prospect Park is, I agree with you with what you're saying, Reagan. They shouldn't have said jack. They should have just released a statement saying, "We are reviewing our options in regards to bringing One Life to Live and All My Children back on the air." Boom. That way, if it didn't go through, soap fans, you can't get mad because the cat said, they gave you a statement. And if it did went through, they gave you a statement. So no fuss, no muss, you know. And
the minute you started releasing this person signed on, that person signed on, I mean, you just were giving people all this hope that everything was going the way it should have been. And then all of a sudden you pulled the rug out right from under everybody. And soap fans just got hurt all over again. They lost the member of their family, so to speak, all over again, and it's like crushing, you know, it's crushing to the core.
I mean, you're playing reindeer games with soap fans. You got all this buzz. Everybody was championing you, myself included, was championing you for bringing One Life to Live and All My Children back on the air. But then, you know, you don't want to release nothing, you're not saying anything, and then when the backlash came, when soap fans were like, you know, when it all started to come out, bits and pieces where, you know, they were, when they threw La Diva Susan Lucci under the bus, that's when the backlash started. And when these soap actors were like, you know, they say they're talking to us, but we ain't heard shit from Prospect Park. When actors said that and when they threw Susan Lucci under the bus, that's when the backlash started with them. I don't think, you know, I think they thought they were, you know, as I said before, they had this idea of coming in and saving the day, not until they opened the book, so to speak. The backlash with these soap fans, when they kept saying, we're doing this, and the actors were like, we're doing that. And when they tried to say, oh, we exhausted everything, and Astra and WGA was like, the hell you say? We set up meetings with y'all, and y'all were canceling left, right, and center. The truth was coming out, and these soap fans were like, you were pulling the wool over our eyes, and the backlash hit. I think they keep leaking this, like, oh, we're still shopping them around, so soap fans can still, you know.
They don't want the rest of their brand affected. They see how soap fans can affect more than just the daytime television world.
Exactly. Like, you know, they thought, you know, they still wanted those soap fans slapping them on the back. They just did not realize that soap fans are very vocal and they mobilize, and when you piss them off, when you play with them, they attack. And quit playing. Stop leaking stuff out. Until you have something set in stone, shut up. That and you know, I said it before. When they didn't talk to the soap media, that was a red flag. Someone on Twitter mm-hmm. tried to be funny. Mm-hmm. You know, when you try to be funny with me, I don't think that's cute. When they were like, oh, so were y'all going to give them money? I'm like, no, dumbass. When you don't speak to the media, to the soap press, the one who is championing y'all, your core audience, something is a red flag right there, because they know soap magazines and us and other online soap vehicles would have been like, so how are you guys going to do this? Is it going to be just like the current model? Is it going to be 13 weeks? Is it going to be like a telenovela? What's it going to be? Are you going to still have a big cast, small cast? Is it going to be an hour, 45 minutes, 30 minutes, 15, what? They knew the media was going to be on them like white on rice.
Because we knew more about it than they did.
Exactly. questions, and they weren't ready for it. So, Prospect, just shut up. If you ain't ready, shut up.
Meanwhile, in an interview with Soap Opera Digest, Ron Carlovati said that it is impossible to shoot anything or reshoot anything at this point for One Life to Live's finale, which means that we may be getting a cliffhanger, and as good as... Here's the thing that I think about when I read this. It's like, okay, All My Children, I didn't mind it going out on a cliffhanger because of the fact that All My Children had been in such rough shape for so long. To me, having a cliffhanger like that was sort of like a ribbon on a package in terms of it coming back and ending well. One Life to Live is so good all the time that with one of Ron's cliffhangers, if it was, for example... Matthew dying before Thanksgiving, that cliffhanger, and we never found out that he woke up, I would be royally pissed.
Ooh. Really?
And,
I wouldn't.
So to me, it's like, for Rod's show, because he has so many good cliffhangers, I almost want things wrapped up tidily. So
tidily?
That's not a tidily. Word.
I had hoped for things people to get their happy endings, but I'm not so sure that's going to happen. But I don't know. That's just me, because Ron's so good at cliffhangers already. I don't want to know what an end of series cliffhanger is going to be.
You know, I wouldn't have mind. I don't mind the cliffhanger because it's a soap. They want to leave you hanging. They want you striving for more. They want you to, you know, feel as though you were going to tune in on Friday. You know, they have a cliffhanger on a Friday. They want to give you that attitude where you tune in, you know, oh, damn, I can't wait for Monday. It's a soap. Everything can't be wrapped up in a bow. I'm sorry. I don't mind it at all. It sounds like it's going to be a bitchin' cliffhanger.
Yeah, and I want it to live on, even if it's just in my head and my heart.
Exactly.
I don't, you know.
Will you start writing fan fiction? Let's talk a little bit about B&B. Stolen Designs. We discussed it a little bit last week. Jackie M versus, I guess it is technically sort of Spectra. Jackie M versus Forrester. Jackie has stolen the designs once again. Same story, second verse, sing it over.
Like the first.
I was going to say, it doesn't get worse, but it's pretty much like the first. Thank you, Mel. Jillian, what are your thoughts?
It's kind of tiresome when you see them do this whole crap, you know, this thing. But the payoff with La Forrester Stephanie, when she pimp slapped the daylights out of Jackie, and when she was like, you stole from us, and when she told Jackie, I'm going to find out who the traitor is, and it's going to be hell to pay for the two of you. And you know me. I'm like, ooh, that gave me chills, because I'm like, nobody does revenge better. Well, you know, nobody on B&B, I should say, does revenge better than one Stephanie Douglas Forrester and Brooke Logan. But we talk about Stephanie. I thought it was great. Stephanie getting riled up and just scaring Jackie to bits. I thought that was fantastic. Oh, love when Susan Flannery gets just angry and just rawr.
Well, and the Foresters know when to call out the pit bull.
Oh, yeah, you know. Please, Ridge confronting Jackie, that would have been a damn joke. Eric confronting Jackie.
She probably would have slapped him.
Hell, she would have slapped him with his own scarves.
Why did you hand deliver these to me?
You know, if it was Eric, please. All Jackie had to do is show him some legs and show him some ass, and Eric would have been like, It ain't Jackie. You know Eric is all pig of a man, so they know you said big Stephanie over there. The little one is a joke compared to big Stephanie. Loved it. I actually loved that part. That part, don't mind so much.
I even saw that, and it was really good. So,
girl, Stephanie LaForesta does not play. Trust and believe, Mel.
Let's talk a little bit about Bill, Steffi, Liam, Hope, Katie.
Barf.
Katie's insecurities are beginning, well, not beginning, but continue to show through.
And with good reason, because Bill still wants Steffi. She knows I'm in.
That's true. And I prefer Steffi and Bill together in a, like, will they or won't they get together type thing as antagonists, but who are also boinking each other. Katie and Bill are sort of boring. In fact, more than a little boring. So I don't mind Steffi spicing things up, but then you start throwing in Hope and all this other stuff, and it just becomes a convoluted mess. But I guess that's really not much of a surprise, considering the fact that we've had the Brooke, Ridge, Eric, and various other people thrown into that storyline for many years. What are you thinking of how this is developing, Jillian?
It's kind of interesting, but it's not. It's interesting. It's not. It's interesting to see Steffi. Bill pushed Steffi to go towards Liam. He was all for it, and now all of a sudden you want her too. It's interesting with that dynamic. It's like, did you think your son was a punk who was just going to marry her and they were going to be like in name only? Didn't you think that he was going to sample the goods? That's the interesting part. You know what I mean? That is very interesting, but it's not because, you know, I mean, hell, we were gypped out of seeing, you know, because of Katie's heart attack or whatever, we were gypped out of seeing some really good scenes. Like, Bill went back to her by default.
That's true.
I would have liked to see Steffi, you know, get Bill and Katie be like, okay, bitch, you can have him, but Bill, I am going to, you know, take you to the cleanest. I am going to bankrupt you. And for her to be some fierce, like, uber bitch, you know, to see her in a Logan just shine and just crush Bill, and Bill sort of be turned on by it, like, damn, I didn't, you know, get this girl riled up and she's gonna play some balls. We just were robbed of that. So I'm hoping this, you know, this with Bill trying to go after Steffi again, maybe we'll see that.
Well, someone who manipulated their way into a marriage and in theory could bankrupt her, Deacon, married Nikki on YNR. Dicky, our
five-year-old. No!
Mel?
No! Uh-uh. Neekin, you heard me? Get out of here.
Dicky.
Look at you. You are very fresh.
I think I got converted over to the Dicky side. I don't know what happened. No, that was good this week on The Young and the Restless. I'm not even going to lie. I was all up into it. My dad walked in my room trying to talk to me, and I was like, huh? Were you saying something? I'm sorry. I was watching Young and the Restless, and that just hadn't happened in a very long time. But it has a lot of potential. I do have to say that. Deacon's in all kinds of trouble with the mob that's not run by Bobby Marcino. Okay. I don't know what that's about. He's all kind of trouble, so you know what? He gonna blackmail Nikki and get him some Nikki and some money all at the same time because he quote unquote knows what happened in the park. Okay. This is the first time anybody has heard anything about Deacon being involved.
No, not because he said it to Phyllis. He like alluded to Phyllis. He blackmailed Phyllis too. Yeah. What I like when he was just like, "You're Mrs. Sharp now," and that kiss that he gave Nikki was hot. When Nikki told him, "You ain't getting none of this. That's all you getting from me." We'll see.
See,
that
that's
last.
The thing about it, because having known how much chemistry they had in the past, and knowing that, I mean, obviously he's doing it for the money, but the fact that he may still have feelings for her, even though that she's not willing to necessarily admit she has feelings for him at this time, there's still hope.
Okay, They're still
no,
hope.
No, I'm going to back you up, and I'm going to have to have you with that. She doesn't have feelings for Deacon anymore. Deacon got her back sloppy drunk. What feelings she have for him besides the feelings of, you need to go run out and go get me some Johnny Walker Black. Boy, she doesn't, he got her.
Yeah, but he could help her get sober, and her she could fall for him.
You just contradicted what you said. You said she doesn't want to admit she still has feelings for him. He's blackmailing her, and he got her drunk the first time when she was.
I like to believe that she still has feelings for him.
You're dumb. That's why. You're just.
Well, I do. I can't help it. I would like to think that she still has feelings for him, even if she is addled as much as a pickle.
No, but know what I would like, though? Now, I would give you with this. I would like for Deacon to help her get sober. He's just allowing her to be drunk because he knows that he can control her that way. If he was the one to get her back on the wagon and, you know, try to romance her at the same time and, you know, be like, you ain't got to put up with Victor's shit, that old bastard. Tell him to button up his shirt in jail. Oh, that drove me crazy this week. Didn't that drive any of y'all crazy this week? It did me. Anyways.
You know? I can't say that I noticed.
Oh, what the heck? You didn't notice that roadmap going down his pants. I'm like, dude, you're in jail, not GQ. Button that up. God, I was like, where's Eileen Davidson? Because the last time he did that, she politely came up to him, and he all thinking he Rico Suave. He hugging her. Eileen Davidson politely button that joint up. I was like, thank you. But no, I digress. I would like for Deacon to be like, you know, Nikki, you ain't got to put up when Victor get, you know, out of line, and for Nikki to have some sort of backbone. I've always said that I would like an underdog such as Deacon to win Nikki over, because Nikki's always had someone who's been on the same playing field with Victor in terms of money and power. If someone like Deacon, who ain't got no status, no power, no nothing, but, you know, just has street smarts, was to, you know, take on Victor one-on-one for Nikki, that would be interesting.
Mel, what did you think of Adam, Sharon, and Nick this
week? Oh, I'm sorry. I busted out in convulsions. I was on Twitter when watching the Young the Restless, when that mess came on with Adam and Sharon, and I said I could not, and I mean it, I absolutely cannot with Adam and Sharon again. Sharon, you are dumbass. Dumbass. This don't make no sense. This man then took your children away from you, I don't even know how many times at this point, and kept you in jail on purpose because he got his little feelings hurt, and now he quote-unquote wants you back, and I want you to wear my mama's ring. You need to tell him where to go and how to get there, because I'm done.
Oh, man, that's right. Side of a high five right there. I'm sorry, but he took her child once, right?
Yes.
You know, in some strange orbit, some so fence, you're like, well, you know, he was trying to do a good deed for Ashley. I'm like, yeah, but make the real mother mourn her child? I'm like, really? At least Adam should have just grabbed a stray kid off the street and give it to Sharon. Like, find a crack baby and give it to, not Sharon, to Ash.
He could have ended up like, oh, crap, now the name slipped my mind. I want to say Darnell.
Oh, Jesse.
Yes, he could have ended up like Jesse on All My Children.
Anyways, but you know, that was that time. The second time this man came guns blazing in court and tried to get you to go to jail and have your kids taken away. Well, kid, because Noah's a grown-ass man now. Have your kid taken away from you again, your freedom, all because you were just like, boo-boo, I'm not into you. That is just bizarre. I'm sorry. I'm done with Sharon.
But this is Sharon's behavior. She does the exact same thing with Victor. How many times? I mean, it's the Victor. She believes that Victor's still her friend. And Victor let her sit for months and help frame her.
She's a dummy, too. I mean, she's a dummy with all the Newmans. I mean, look, the most Nick will do is cheat on your ass. That's the only thing. That's one thing. Nick will just screw on you. That's the only thing you got to worry about. These two kids, Victor and Adam, they want you to go to jail for life. That is crazy. You're playing with someone's freedom, and that boy coming to her, wear my ring. I would have told Adam, you know what you can do with that ring? You can just turn your backside over and stick it where the sun don't shine, because ain't no way Adam was coming to me talking about wear his mother's ring after he tried to send me to jail. Sharon was supposed to mace his eyeballs out. burn them bad boys out. I'm sorry, I'm done with Sharon. They have just massacred that chick's, that character. Massacred it. I'm just done with Sharon, you know? If Adam, she marries Adam and Nick takes her baby, I don't care. Good for Nick. Good for Nick.
At this point, if she takes him back, Nick deserves to have that baby.
Yes!
You just don't give a shit.
Exactly. I mean, it's one, you know, I can understand Adam being mad because Sharon played dead. I mean, all of them should have been mad with that, but I understand Sharon was just like, you know, I don't want y'all to have me stay, you know, visit me in jail, X, Y, and Z. But because she decided to move on with her life and, you know, find someone that would overlook her flaws and this and that with that silly Dr. Sam, Pharma Sam, and your feelings are hurt, it's like, and you just want to get back at her, not by, you know, sleeping with a friend of hers or something like that, you know, nefarious. You want to send her to jail? Or stop.
Last week we discussed the report that Brian DeTillo had been spotted on the Days of Our Lives set. This week it's official, he's returning. A very important piece of the puzzle when it comes to Will's storyline. Jillian, what are your thoughts?
I hope they do right by him. He needs to hold them two fingers up like Seeley from The Color Purple. You need to do right by Days, because that boy is really the Rodney Dangerfield of soaps, of Days of Our Lives, I should say. Him and Matt Ashford. I'm glad that Lucas is going to be back, because I would love, you know, we're all going to need to know what Will's, you know, mom, grandma, stepdaddy, and this and that feel about him being gay. We, you know, I was hoping that, you know, we would find out what his father would say. This is really going to be interesting to see play out. I'm hoping Lucas won't be homophobic. It would be kind of interesting if Lucas is just like, what? That would be kind of interesting to see Lucas be like, oh, hell no. And then Will be like, bitch, you are drunk and I still accept you. That would be kind of interesting to play out. I wouldn't mind seeing that. But knowing Lucas, he'll probably accept Will for what he is. So, whatever.
Well, and considering the fact that Will and Lucas had a very good father-son relationship. I mean, even when Will was being portrayed by other characters, Reagan, the dynamic between Will and Lucas was something that, in some respects, Sammy was jealous of. And to have him return at this pivotal point in Will's life, and in theory, well, it could go one way or the other. Either he could have a problem with Will being gay, or he could not. I'm looking forward to it a lot. What about you?
I'm looking forward to it. I think, like Jillian said, it's going to be a welcome addition back, and he needs to be there for this. I think he's going to accept it. I mean, I think maybe he'll be the person for Will to help him deal with those who aren't going to necessarily be very accepting at first. So,
with the fact that Austin and Carrie are both back in town.
Austin, what? And Luke, them cookies!
and Lucas is returning. All of a sudden, I'm having fond memories of the days when it was Sammy, Austin, Carrie, and Lucas, and Kate was meddling.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe, she'll be able to convince Lucas to mix things up with Madison. That could be an interesting triangle. Madison,
oh, yeah,
Brady, and Lucas.
You know, Lucas has always been a mama's boy. That would be kind of hood fresh if, you know, let me speak English, because I know some of y'all don't know what that means. That would be kind of interesting to see, and fabulous to see Kate be like, Lucas, I want you to go after that girl. But Lucas, you know, when Lucas was around Kate, he got a little bit of a backbone over the last couple of years, so...
Well, and the fact that Billy's returning, too. I mean, I think we're setting it up. It's going to be very interesting to see how Kate's children factor into her storyline with Madison as dueling executives.
Brady's not related to Kate, right?
No.
So then it would be kind of cool if she was like, Billy, you go after that Brady to get back at that trick Madison.
All I know, with the state that these soap operas are in, I applaud Days, because if they are like, listen, if we find ourselves going down anytime soon, we are going down blazing.
Yes, they've taken out of One Life to Live's book. I mean, you know, It's too damn bad. GH ain't, well, you know, GH gonna do it now because Frank and Ron coming over there and they gonna wreck it.
Let's just hope they have enough time to wreck
exactly.
It. That's
they have
all.
Two
that's
months.
My only concern. That's my well, only concern.
I mean, you know, they don't shoot up to like, you know, they don't shoot far in advance like other soaps, so they probably will have time.
Well, they basically have till March 1st in terms of shooting time, because if an announcement were to come down in April, we discussed it a little bit last week, April 1st is always when these things come down because they're making preparations for May's announcements. Well, let's talk about the other aspect of Days of Our Lives, the one that may not be doing quite so well as everything else.
What?
And that is the gambling site storyline where that has now resulted in Chad and Melanie being kidnapped, and of course now Abby and Gabby are also kidnapped.
Well, they were rescued Friday, so Austin came in and saved the day. I'm liking that part! Oh, I'm liking that part! I'm like, Austin, you pervert, you! Or as DJ Connor would say, you prevert! You used to watch that little girl run around in her diaper. Now you want to watch her run around in her drawers, you fresh! I love it! I love it! How is Carrie going to, you know, Carrie would always compete with Sammy and know what to expect with that chick because she's lying and manipulative, but Abby's not like that! Abby's a good girl! This is awesome! I love it! I love it! I love it! I love that part! The online gambling jive, I was like, really? And the dude running from poor Charles, from General Hospital, night shift, as some, y'all didn't catch that part?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, the dude, it's been one of the henchmen, he was the replacement doctor.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
He was the replacement doctor on General Hospital night shift. I'm like, really? You're a henchman now? I can't take you seriously, dude. Anyway. But I'm glad the whole gambling crap is over.
So the moral of the story is end up bad storylines quick.
They wrapped it up real quick, and then you have something blooming that is very good, you know, coming out of it. Austin and Abby? Oh, that is
well,
very
in some
brilliant.
Respects, it sort of reminds you a little bit of, like, remember how Sammy was back in the day when she was always drooling over Austin and wanted him? It would be sort of interesting to see Abby take a turn.
I don't want them to do that. I would like, you know, Carrie knows what to expect. I mean, you know, she has an ace in her pocket. She can go to the woman that turned her life from, you know, sugar to shit over Austin, and that is Sammy. Sammy can easily be like, look, let me tell you what you're gonna expect from this trick, girl. No, I like the fact that Austin would go after a good girl like Abby, because, you know, if it was somebody like a Sammy, you know, Carrie could always be like, you always want to fix someone. What is with you and trying to be Captain Save-A-Ho? But with someone who is earnest and, you know, caring like Abby is, you know, Carrie would have to sit down and think deeper about what's going on with her that makes her man want to run off with this young chick. Is it because she old now, or is it because she a workaholic? What? So I kind of like that. It has very good dimensions with this, and I'm just hoping they don't wreck it. I don't think they will, but I hope they don't wreck it.
Let's talk about General Hospital.
because the groans in unison.
Child,
watching it this last week,
I watched Chubb Chubb and the gang.
This is one time when I'm very thankful that General Hospital has a short shooting period between when they shoot and when it airs, because let's end this crap as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. Everybody on that boat, seriously. Could it have been any more boring, Reagan?
I'm not real sure if it could have been any more boring, because it was pretty damn boring. I wanted to gouge my own eyes out
Who cares?
I mean, yeah, like, it's really stupid, because first of all, the whole Lisa is psycho was good for a minute, and then they just did it again and again and again. And then Lisa is psycho turned into Lisa is just a stupid psycho because you keep writing that Lisa is psycho. It was stupid and dumb, and nobody cares who killed her because nobody cares about Lisa.
I'm serious. To me, I thought GH was trying to. To me, this is just me. Mel, you can say yay or nay, but to me, it seemed as though GH was trying to make, trying to create their own version of Sheila Carter. To me, I thought they were trying to, but you know, the payoff was no, it wasn't. No, Sheila Carter is a YR/B&B character. Y'all can't mess with that. To me, that's how I took it. Like, they were trying to create their own version of Sheila Carter, and it fell flat.
But Sheila is on a whole other level of villain. You know
exactly
what I mean?
Exactly. That's why I said it fell flat.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess they were kind of trying to go for that, but if you're going to go try to recreate the Sheila character on another soap, you need to go a step further, because Sheila was burying people alive. She did not care. So, I don't know.
Well, and the other thing about General Hospital as it stands now is that so much of it is just being drug out and drug
Dante
out
and Lulu.
Drug out. Oh, that's where I was headed with this. Thank you, Mel. I used to love Dante and Lulu, but just break them up.
Mom,
they are
they're
awful
not going to break them up. She's going to propose to him, and they're having a wedding.
But oh, after all that,
yeah,
you didn't come back at 9 o'clock, and I just couldn't handle it. And you promised that you would be at a desk job, and I can't handle it. And he'd take your ring back. No, what, you never give the ring back.
And she's well on her way to becoming Nikki Newman in terms of a lush.
No, you did not. No, you did not.
No, they're having a little Christmas wedding because she's going to propose to him.
Fallback, she ain't never been no Nikki because Nikki dressed fabulously.
I didn't call her Nikki. But
I know you ain't. Your co-pilot over there said that mess.
And fake Maxie's going to encourage her to go do the right thing and get together. And
fake Maxie needs to take a
fake
big jump off of the pier in
Kiki, come home.
Port Charles Bay.
I'm like my candle in the window like Pop did for Vanessa Marcel. Kiki, come home.
Please come home.
I think we need to put up a count, like a running day count of how long it's been without Kirsten Storms, because it's just terrible.
Yes, they should have just said that Maxie went to visit her mama. Boom. She went to visit her mama, or she went to visit her daddy. Her real daddy. She went to visit Frisco. Shit. I would have bought it.
Or she on some fashion trip or whatever for Kate in Europe.
When is Fashion Week in Paris? Fashion Weeks for a very long time.
She got a job working for a designer or something. I don't know.
Or how about this? How about Kate sent her overseas to oversee
Crimson Paris or something.
There, you know, Crimson UK. To oversee the launch of Crimson UK. She was like, Lulu, I can't have your drunk, silly, crying ass over there. I need someone who was a firecracker. So I sent Maxie. Bada boom, bada big. That's it.
Well, speaking of Kate, Reagan, what did you think of Kate and Sunny this week?
Yawn.
Yeah, I'm sick of them too.
How long? Okay, I just have a question. How long are we going to have to deal with Sunny's childhood issues? I'm not trying to
apparently
the
forever.
Fact that abuse is a terrible thing, but is this the only there? It's like there's two storylines that Sunny can have.
He's bipolar.
He's depressed and acting out bipolar,
and got abused as a kid.
Exactly. And everything else just sort of fits under one of those two umbrellas, and nothing ever refreshing happens with Sunny in terms of a character.
You know, and I guess maybe I'm just not a fan of New Kate. She's fine.
No, she's not.
She's fine as like an actress, but she's not fine as Kate. I mean, I get money-wise, Megan Ward probably wasn't a fit, but then just don't bring Kate back. Leave her wherever she was as a mystery coming in and out. Nobody ever fucking saw her.
You know, she went upstairs to go get some pancakes and never came back.
Right. I mean, like, I don't think
she would need pancakes.
She in the break room
with Ashley.
No, she in the break room with Amy.
I mean, this is so ridiculous. I have never been so bored with General Hospital ever. And I have had my moments where I am just not happy with General Hospital, but I am literally bored to death watching this show. I would even be happy if Jason and Sam had a good storyline going on right now. But no.
And that's desperate.
Them and they can't even be happy. She's got to go get raped. And she's crying all the time. And he's beating everybody up. And it's just a mess.
Conducting investigations from an interrogation room.
It is just a mess. You know it's sad when the one person that I actually somewhat enjoy is Michael. And I want Drew Garrett back still.
What happened,
Michael
Mark?
Has been kind of unbearable lately.
Michael's been unbearable.
I don't understand why Sean does not jump off and slap the piss out of Michael. Yes, I said it. Say, call me violent, whatever. You send your tweets to me.
But
woo!
Out of that whole thing,
slap him,
he's
Sean.
And then I'm actually like, okay, I can handle him. Sean and Carly are obviously like the lone gem of the whole
good thing about this show.
Nancy Lee Gron is Alexa.
Where is she? Where is she?
Yelling at Mac in the police
station.
She made
Jason and Michael scenes a little bit salvageable.
Child, please.
Salvageable? Why? By saying, I don't know what's going on.
By being amazing Nancy Lee Gron that she is.
By saying, I'm going to go get Sam? Wow, what a line. I mean,
well, she's real. I mean, she took a
chance, though.
I could see if you had some more things to say what she had with substance, but come on now. Like, give me a break. I like Nancy Lee, but she didn't do nothing. Shit. Look.
And it's not her fault. It's
not her fault. No, I'm not saying it's her fault. We know it's not her fault. You know, stay off that Twitter, girl. But anyway, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, it's just, blah. GH is just, blah. I'm sorry. I was just, Sean, I don't understand. Look, say what you will. Look, as a person of color, if some little fast mouth little boy was to keep ragging on me, I would have popped him one already. Why Sean hasn't done it, I don't know. Reagan, you know you Italian. You know,
yes,
some
he's a respectful person. That's why.
You know if someone was
trying to get Carly's booty
mouth,
on a slide. So
you know, child. You know if someone was fast.
No, I would have smacked him upside the head, or I would have at least put him up against a wall and told him how it was.
Hell, you don't have to like me, as Tony Soprano said. You don't have to like me, but you will respect me. Sean is supposed to put the fear of God into that little damaged head boy. He make me sick.
Yeah. And now Jason
and now they're
Jason's
investigating
whole,
the
like,
strippers.
But now Jason's whole thing is going to be that he's not like it's going to be a medical problem that why he's acting this way.
Yeah.
And then Jason, why he's beating up everybody. And
oh,
then
what, he got a chemical imbalance or something ridiculous.
I'm serious.
Probably another, you know.
He's probably has a brain aneurysm
whatever,
or something. Another blood clot.
He's going to need his, like, 50th brain surgery.
Brain
and Robin's going to figure it out. And then Robin's going to tell Jason whatever her health. We're going to finally find out exactly what her health problem is. And Jason, she's going to tell Jason. I mean, it's just all.
Oh, it's just a big mess.
It's a big freaking mess, and I'm sick of it. I can't wait for Ron to get in there, because I hate this right now.
Jason's brain should be split pea soup by now. Between
Oh, my God, right?
Split pea? That stuff is, there isn't even a pea left in it. It's all been ground to a pulp.
He should be a freaking vegetable in a home right now. That
and
boy.
Catherine Chancellor, because that bitch had more strokes than anybody I know. What a boardroom. I'm like, God damn, you. Woo. I'm like, good Lord. I mean, those two right there are a freak of miracle of medical science genius or something. I don't understand it. I'm sick and tired. GH is just That show is gross. And for anybody to be like, GH is good again, you was a damn
Oh, no, it's terrible. And on that depressing note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Add us as a friend on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Save fraternity row!